Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
Chad Brown in for Alfred, and I will say, Chad, let's get my act here together. Thank you for filling in for the past couple weeks. Really appreciate it. We anticipate Alfred will be back on Monday.
We're fixing to find out.
You never know with Alfred and his vacations, but we're thinking that's what the plan will be.
We're fixing to find out.
We are fixing to find out. So, thank you for everything. It's been great working with you.
It's always lots of laughs. Sometimes with you, sometimes at you. But either case, it's both.
Wow.
It's lots of laughs.
Wow. At me.
Oh. But it all comes from a place of love.
I think we'd be remiss if we just didn't start this with advice as you're driving home on how you should approach things when you are questioned by a police officer. And we found this out because Emmanuel Sanders got in some traffic issues last year. Well, last night, I guess, on 9 News, my buddy Kyle Clark and the gang discovered the body camera, and we get the pictures and the video of Emmanuel Sanders explaining his situation to the police. Here we go.
Man, I was driving in the middle lane.
Negative, just one.
And all of a sudden.
So you're driving in between the double yellows?
Yeah. You just got sideswiped by her.
So why were you driving in between the
double yellows? Well, I played for the Broncos.
Okay.
And I had to be at work at 8. So I was driving to work. People were driving slow. I had my emergency lights on. I was driving to work.
And
what's the rule in driving in between a double yellow?
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, straight up, you're both going to get a ticket. You can't drive in the double yellows. You're both going to get a ticket for careless driving.
Well, so what was it created for? Emergency, right?
What was the double yellow created for? Emergency.
Right?
Right?
That is the rhetorical question of the year. I love that one.
Because what he's saying is, I was late, and that's an emergency.
Right. That's why.
Right?
That's why he threw the right on there at the end. Like, agree? Right?
Right? So if you're running late, throw on your hazards and drive, you know, wherever. Drive on the shoulder, drive on the median, cut through a corn pasture or a cornfield. I mean, you can do whatever you want, right, Chad? If it's an emergency, if you're late. I want you all to keep that in mind as you're driving out there today. If you feel like it's an emergency to say, get home for dinner tonight.
Well, I play for the Broncos.
But you nor I play for the Broncos. So we can't throw that line out there like that.
Like, it wasn't, I just got to get to a meeting. It was like, I play for the Broncos.
I play for the Broncos.
I probably have some football cards in my center console. Yeah. Would you like one?
Right. I play for the Broncos. I can get you tickets for a game.
I probably got an extra pair of gloves in the back. You want some, officer?
I got size 11 cleats.
You want some socks, some footies? I got a whole bunch.
You know, I play on Sunday, so Saturday I could come to your kid's game.
I play for the Broncos.
Now, you and I, not really in the position to be pushing back on driving.
That is true.
Considering my accident earlier this week.
I'll give you that.
And considering your
what
defense of Von Miller going 71 in a 45, and that's just okay.
All right. Okay.
We did 15 minutes on Von Miller going 71 in a 45 in your defense of that.
Okay.
All right. So just want to set the record clear.
All right.
Neither one of us are in a great position.
No.
But we can certainly laugh at, that's what, it's for emergencies, right?
I play for the Broncos.
You know, listen, man, have I dropped the I work for the fan line before?
It's me, D-Mac, from the fan.
Hey, jury duty, I said it to get out of jury duty. I wasn't trying to, like, Yeah, I guess I did try to. I did. I mean, that's just being factual, though. No, I am no angel. I'm going to tell you this, Emmanuel, because, of course, everybody thinks I hate Emmanuel Sanders. I have my issues with Emmanuel for other reasons. Dude, I got to give you a little credit. I mean, you were running late. We've all been running late.
Everyone.
There's nobody that hasn't been running late. And when I've been running late, I'm going to tell you flat out, I've done the driving on the shoulder thing, or the maybe I cut you off a little when I shouldn't have, or I'm just going to tell you right outside my neighborhood, there's a double yellow, and I've used that to my advantage sometimes just to sort of get going and get out. I haven't always waited for the road to completely clear, perhaps the way it should, Chad. So I'm not going to sit here and be holier than thou. In fact, just the opposite. Emmanuel, I'll give you some credit. I never, ever, ever thought to put on my hazard lights as I'm doing something illegal on the road.
At least he was being cautious,
right? That is kind of clever. I'm not going to lie. Now, that indicates to me he's probably done that before. I mean, I would be stunned if he just came up with that and he got in an act. That is kind of smart. I'm going to do something illegal. I'm going to do something I know I shouldn't do. So I'm just going to throw on my hazards.
I just love the,
you know?
I just love the wide receiver, just pure confidence to tell the cop, hey, this was an emergency, man. I had to go. I love it. I absolutely love it.
Would you say, D, they would have never wrote him a ticket had someone not slammed into him?
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. He only got in trouble because he got in an accident. And by the way, the other driver, she was doing something dopey, too. She got cited as well. So I'm not here to castigate Emmanuel or say he's a bad person or anything like that. I think it's funny more than anything else. I'm glad nobody was hurt in the accident, Chad.
Right.
Of course, if somebody was hurt, it was different. It was just funny. He tried to play two cards, the Broncos card.
Love it.
Which is, you got to play it. You got to play it. Right?
I play for the Broncos.
I don't know if you have to.
Yeah, you do. Come on. You don't. Nobody wants to get a ticket and go to court.
When is it appropriate to play that card?
Like a ticket sort of thing. Like
you're at a restaurant and they say they're full.
Yes. Play it.
Walk up to the front of the line at the movie theater and say, I'm a Bronco.
Geez, I don't know if people even do that anymore. I don't think that works. No, it would not work in that situation. But everything's online anyways. That wouldn't work.
Tell your kids.
Give me something. The restaurant's a good one, though.
Tell your kids to say who their father is so they can get whatever they need. Emmanuel Sanders, my
dad plays for the Broncos.
I can't do detention on Saturday.
Yeah, he's got a game. Oh, man. I'd say no on that, but I could see it happening.
You're checking out at the grocery store and you casually say, or the liquor store.
The liquor store? What am I doing at the liquor store?
Football players drink beer and alcohol.
Oh, yeah, but what am I trying to get away with?
You want a discount. Hey, you know, I'm one of those Bronco guys you see on Sundays. There's got to be a Broncos discount somewhere.
At the end of the day, if you've got something in your life that you think you can, you know, as long as you're not breaking the law, I wouldn't use it to like a felony or a misdemeanor. I mean, we're talking about a traffic ticket. And if you do something really, really dangerous, if you hurt somebody or you do something just unbelievably irresponsible that results in some sort of serious injury, then yeah, that's no bueno. But what are we talking about here? You know, careless driving incidents.
Careless driving kills people.
Oh, my God. You are such a downer. All right. Forget it.
Emergency, right?
It's an emergency. So if you're running around out there, just throw your blinkers on and...
Yeah.
Emergency, right?
What's Vince got to
now,
say
now,
here?
Now, I had teammates who, you know, wore a necklace with the team logo on it.
Okay.
And would drop the fact that they were a Steeler literally everywhere we went. So it got to the point where we would just say... Hey, man, don't do that Stevie Steeler crap when we get in there. Please don't be that guy.
It was embarrassing for you guys.
Because we started calling him Stevie Steeler.
Okay.
Like, one night we're in the club.
Have you never used I play for the Steelers or I played for the Seahawks?
I really tried my best not to. One night we're in the club, and he's like, oh, man, yeah, it's cold. Oh, these gloves? These are football gloves. I got these because I was playing in the game today. And it's like, you're really going to tell this girl –
Or are you trying to get into a club? Like, everybody's waiting outside.
No, he's like inside. You know, it's cold in Pittsburgh.
What is he trying to get away with?
He's not trying to get away with anything, but he's just continually to drop the Steeler thing. Like, the girl asked about his gloves.
To what benefit? To try to hit on the girl?
Right. So he's like, these gloves?
Yeah. Wait a second.
These are football gloves.
Oh, dude. If you're just wait, is he married or single?
This was a long time ago. It's not important.
That's important.
I had to be at work at 8.
I mean, if you're single, I mean, use it.
Use it, really?
Oh, yeah.
If you were a NFL football player, you would wear a medallion of whatever team you played for on your neck.
Use to get friendly with the ladies?
And you would pull that medallion out from underneath your T-shirt.
If you're trying
every time you walked into someplace, so people could know.
Hold on. I'm talking about just dating a lady. Just talking about use it.
There's ladies everywhere. There's ladies in the grocery store.
Use it.
Okay. You're that guy. You're Stevie Steeler.
No, because I've been married with the same woman for 30 years.
But you would like to be that guy.
Listen, I don't want anything to change in my relationship with my beautiful wife, who I love very much. But, I mean, if circumstances change beyond my control.
If things could be different, they'd be different.
I mean, I'm not sure what kind of desperate lady would be impressed by the fact I'm a sports talk radio host.
No, but you're not. But in this scenario, you're D-Mac, the football player.
I mean, if that works for me at all,
no.
I'm going to use all the clubs in my bag.
You're Batman. You're pulling on every tool on the tool belt.
I wouldn't use it to get away with something illegal, or I wouldn't do something that is just bizarrely unethical.
What you would just say.
But in Emmanuel Sanders' situation, come on. You got to give it a shot.
So you're driving in between the double yellows?
It's D-Mac, the Bronco. You know who I am.
Do you know my buddy Mark Stout? Mark Stout, you know who Mark is?
Mm-hmm.
Well, back in the day, Mark used to cover the Bills when we worked in Buffalo. And he's a short guy, just like me, and he used to have really long hair. Well, he would travel with the team. I mean, he was friends, really good friends with a lot of guys on the team. He's part of the broadcast team, and he socialized with them. He wasn't an objective guy at all. You know, he was pals with these guys. They went over to England for some sort of game, and he got mistaken as a kicker on the team. And he went with it. And I was like, good for you. What do? I'm the kicker. Oh, hold on a second. Didn't I get into some sort of party with you just following in your wake at some sort of Super Bowl?
Yes.
So what's the difference with that?
We never told the people at the door, hey, this is D-Mac, the kicker. We just brought you in the party.
That happened twice. That happened in Indy at the party you and Al ditched me at. And it happened at...
Well, you were too busy tweeting about Mike Tirico. We were like, we got to get out of this situation. He won't stop talking about Mike Tirico.
Hold on. I never actually mentioned him by name, but so I won't say the rest of the story about him.
Please don't.
That was the classic story. That was the Jay Glazer party, where at one point Von Miller was on a side stage with his shirt off. This is like a Tuesday night, just going crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he wasn't doing anything wrong. He was just having a good time. I saw Donovan McNabb, and I realized quickly, based on his body shape, he was done in the NFL. Like, he wasn't trying as hard anymore.
Right. I think you were shouting that really loud in my ear, and I was like, he can hear you, man.
Now, the whole party was a VIP party. The entire party was VIP. But, of course, in every VIP party, there's, like, VIP rooms. You know, there's areas, even in a VIP party, where not everybody can get to.
Oh, good for you.
So, the three of us are in there. I think Solomon was there too, right? I believe he was.
Yes.
So I believe it was the four of us who entered together. And this is one of those deals where it's like a red carpet. They're taking people's picture on the red carpet. Like, just to get in there as a schmo like me would have rung me up like $400 or something just to get in there.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, Al's glossing his Super Bowl rings and Chad's Chad and there's Solly. And I mean, I was just caught up in the jetsam.
Come on in with us. This is our guy. We got him.
I get in there, and, you know, everybody kind of, you know, doing their own thing. And we're in there for about an hour, and I haven't seen Chad and Al for a little bit. But I know there's a VVIP area that I can't get into. And my phone rings. I pick it up, and they're like, hey. Hey, we're up in the VVIP area. Where are you? And I'm like, I'm down here. And they go, well, come on up here. I go, where are you guys? They go, we're looking at you. We're up here. I go, oh, I don't know. How do I get? Oh, come on. And then the phone light goes dead. So then I spend the next 15, 20 minutes trying to, you know, track down Chad and Al in the VVIP area. An hour later, I see them. I go, oh, there you guys finally are. And they're laughing their ass off. Why? Because they were at a different bar about a mile down the road when they were calling me saying, look up here.
It was Alfred's fault. It wasn't my fault. I was like, I feel bad about leaving D-Mac. I was like, he'd be fine. Don't worry about it.
I was fine.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm going to give kudos to you guys. It was funny. Okay? Thinking, you know, hey, look up here. We're looking at you. And really, you're in another bar down the street. And the funny part is, you came back.
Yes, because that party was whack, too.
Yeah, because that's life with Al, by the way.
Yes.
You know, life with Al is...
Oh, you are never just sitting in one place. You have to move from party to party.
The one thing you got to know about Al, if you ever get anywhere within 15 to 20 minutes, he's going to want to go somewhere else. I don't care what it is.
I found that out that trip.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I've just sort of come to terms with that. So when it makes sense, it makes sense. But you can, like, more or less at Super Bowls, you should just be more or less happy to find a thing a night. Maybe two things. But if you have to travel for more than 2 or 3 miles, no good.
Mm-mm.
But Al will want to get in a car and drive somewhere for like 40 minutes.
No, he doesn't want to drive. He wants you to drive so he can sleep while you're driving. And then you ask him for directions and he sleeps. And it's like, I cannot believe this has happened to me again with this dude.
Right. I'm Al's cab driver again.
Yes.
To an event that's no better than what you were just at.
And now we're an hour outside of town.
For what reason?
This was dumb.
Right.
Yeah. So I decided I'm not doing that after second trip.
I learned my lesson with Al on that. And I've always said, just go. I'll be fine.
Yeah.
I'll always be fine.
You were a great roommate during those Super Bowl trips.
We had some fun.
We had some good times.
Oh, my Lord. Me and you had some fun. There's no doubt about how much fun we had. That Indy, you know, Indy was a great, wasn't Indy a great Super Bowl? Like, great Super Bowl week, great plays, great everything.
I have to say, it is the best Super Bowl city of them all, the ones I've been in as a media person.
Isn't that a trip? That is
so
Indy.
Walkable, yep. So close,
yep.
Weather was great, stadium, media hotel, where we were staying, restaurants, activities, all within literally 6 blocks.
How about the super scarves made by volunteers and
yes.
Everybody being so nice? I have a super scarf. Did I ever tell you how I got a super scarf?
I know you lost your Super Bowl confetti, but tell me the Super Bowl scarf story.
Just real quick, all the volunteers in Indianapolis were wearing blue and white scarves. They were called super scarves. They were only for the volunteers. They were made by people throughout the country, so every super scarf had their own story.
Oh.
Like, you found out who knitted it, from where, and a little message. Like, every super, and they were really for the volunteers. That's it. I stayed really late at that Super Bowl. Not only was I at that Super Bowl after the game on Monday, but I was also there on Tuesday morning. So I'm at the final press conference. The final press conference is the MVP press conference for the game. And that was Eli Manning in that particular Super Bowl. It's when when Wes Welker did not catch that ball. And Eli Manning, who threw that pass on the sideline, who caught that ball. Does anybody remember that unbelievable catch?
Mm-hmm.
And Eli was great. Eli won the Super Bowl. Manningham, yeah, it was that Super Bowl. Great Super Bowl. Eli wins the MVP. So I'm sitting there kind of absorbing the whole thing. And I just know from my week who was in charge of all the volunteers. And I see her there. And I just go up to her after. So it's all done, Chad. Like, this is the last possible thing in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And I see the woman. I go, hey, listen, I just got to say I had a great week. And those super scarves were his. You know, I thought they were great. And I just want to say thank you so much for what you guys did. And she goes, really? Oh, that means so much. Thank you so much. She goes, hey, hang on a second. And she reaches into her bag, Chad, and she pulls out magically a super scarf.
Were you touched?
Dude, it's by far the coolest thing I've ever got at a Super Bowl because it's so unique. I have a super scarf, and it's one of the greatest mementos from any Super Bowl I could ever get.
Nice. Because
you just can't get it anywhere. You can't buy it. Super Bowl confetti is cool, but a lot of people scoop up right. Super Bowl confetti. The fact that I got a free Super scarf was awesome. And the fact that Indy did such a good job, Dallas was terrible. I mean, the worst Super Bowl of all time.
I didn't go to that one. I wasn't
Thank
there.
God.
New York was ridiculous.
New York was terrible.
Yeah.
New York was, we had fun because so many Broncos people were there, so many media people were there, but it was terrible. Terrible. A Super Bowl in Denver would be awesome. I'm not going to lie. It would be fantastic, but
walkability is the key. The ability to walk to wherever you want to go.
Miami is terrible. Al always says, I'd love to go. Miami's awful. It's way too spread out. There's no central focal point. South Beach is really hard to get to. It's not good.
Arizona was nice.
Well, it was nice this last one because they changed a lot of things. They made downtown. I've been to like three different Super Bowls in Phoenix, but this last one was great because they took everything that was great about Indy and they changed it into
Super Bowl City is what they call it.
This is why I just think New Orleans is the best place because they don't have to create anything.
It's already there.
It's all already there. The only problem with New Orleans is the stadium is awful. I mean, it's terrible. The Superdome, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, whatever they call that, that place is embarrassing how bad it is.
Mercedes-Benz Superdome, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Minneapolis was, it was like a mall. Because we were in a mall. It was manufactured. It was fine. Didn't have a lot of distinctive character. I had no sense of Minnesota whatsoever because we were across from the Steak and Shake, which had a big line, you know, the whole time. And you were literally at a mall. Everybody wanted to try to convince everybody to go to like ice fishing. Nobody was having it. And, you know, we had fun to a certain degree, but it wasn't very interesting.
You didn't go to Paisley Park or anything?
No, but there were tours for that, but that was like 40 minutes away and it was 0 degrees. So just walking from the hotel for the short walk we had to the mall was terrible. It was brutal. Johnny Hart, my man, slipped and fell down. I thought he was going to die and get frozen. And nobody was trying to rescue him.
Oh, goodness.
Like he's going to be stuck. Yeah, it was terrible. He took a digger on the last day. That was awful. And we all just stood there because it was so freaking cold. Even though he's only like 20 yards away, none of us like raced out to help him. Because we had all safely made it to the hotel lobby. And Johnny was, I think, stuck to a vehicle.
Oh, my goodness.
Have you ever seen Johnny try to get up once he's fallen down?
I
mean, never mind when it's the ice and the cold and the freezing, whatever.
That's a lot going on there.
Good for you, Emmanuel Sanders. I think that's the point of all this.
I love the confidence. Love the confidence.
Way to go, pal. This is The Drive on the Fan.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
Let's go to Vince real quick. Hey, Vince, you're the fan. What's happening, Vince?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Super.
Hey, I got to give credit to Emmanuel Sanders about this incident because it proved something very important. He is not afraid to go hard over the middle. And I'll tell you what, he had some fearless reaction there. No alligator arms. Boy, he was going hard over the middle. Yeah, that's a good sign, don't you think?
Thank you, Vince.
Same thing showed up on the text line earlier, same kind of joke. And just from the 303, just stopped at the liquor store, told him I worked for the Broncos and I was running late. And they laughed and laughed.
I didn't think of that. Hey, everybody. Everybody this weekend, just wherever you are, whatever you're doing, just tell them you work for the Broncos.
Yeah, and I'm running late.
And you're running late.
See what happens.
So why were you driving in between the...
Well, I played for the Broncos.
I played for the Broncos and I was running late.
I'm the blood of this city.
What's his face? Straight out of Napa, John Boyette used John Elway's my boss.
Oh.
Matt Paradis, not Matt Paradis, Matt, kicker, Matt Prater used, John Elway's going to fire me or John Elway's my boss or something. Prater story is. Yeah, I'm not sure who's got the better training camp story, Prater or Boyette. Can I run them both past you and you can judge?
Please.
Really quick?
Mm-hmm.
Boyette got drunk at, you know, it's like right near here, kind of that sports bar right on Arapahoe Road.
Yep.
Kind of across from Chick-fil-A, across the street from that and where that Wendy's used to be.
Yep.
It's been a couple, I think it's a boxing gym now, but he got drunk there. And what did he do? He hit somebody or he got in a fight with somebody or something happened, like just sort of a drunk escapade. And the cops came looking for him. He knew the cops were coming for him. So he ran to the Shane Company and got in a pile of wood chips. No joke. And the cops pulled him out of the wood chips and he tried to explain who he was and John Elway is my boss and all that sort of stuff. And it didn't work and he got cut. Prater's is a little more complicated. Prater was at training camp and IKEA was being built. There were four security. This is like 2 o'clock in the morning and Prater picked up a girl like at Shotgun Willie's or someplace like that. He picked up a stripper. And he's bringing him back to a hotel. Again, sort of where the radio station is right here, mm-hmm. near where IKEA is in Greenwood Village. He's trying to get into the parking spot to take his lady friend to continue their date, apparently.
That's where classy dates always end up, in the IKEA parking lot.
Well, not the IKEA parking lot. They were in a hotel that's close to, was it the La Quinta? Are you sure? Yeah? Because there's two hotels actually involved with this story. So he's in the parking lot of the La Quinta, and he hits a car as he's trying to park. So he goes into the hotel, and the four security guards are just chilling out, and all of a sudden, they see a real accident.
Sorry, that was at the Hyatt. Then he ran to the
Hyatt. You're killing me, Kyle Berry. All right, don't worry about it. Hotel A, Hotel B. Don't worry about specifics. Is it Hotel A? And he hits a car in the parking lot. The IKEA guards see him. And they call the cops. He leaves the stripper in the lobby and says, I'm going to go get something. He leaves Hotel A.
That was his date. Let's call her his date.
Okay. Sorry, his date. So he leaves Hotel A and the cops come. And they ask the date, who are you with? And she goes, I don't know. His name's Matt P. That's all he said, Matt P. They go, what car? She points out the car. His credential for the Broncos is sitting in the front seat.
Oh, goodness.
He left his date in the lobby, and he went from Hotel A. He just ran across the street to Hotel B and checked in. So after some incredible detective work, they figured out where he was, and they knocked on his door. And he just was a mess. And he thought for sure he's going to get cut and this, that, the other thing. And that's the story of Matt P. So what story do you like better in training camp? The John Boyette hide. By the way, on a more serious note, I suppose, both Boyette and Prater, both of them admitted to having, you know, alcohol problems, went to rehab, sort of got themselves. Matt's still in the NFL. He's kicking for the Lions. He got his act totally turned around. He's married now to a wonderful woman. And so I'm kind of making light knowing that everything is really cool in Matt's life. Boyette, I'm not sure what happened to him. I think he just was out of the NFL after that, and I don't know if he ever got a shot.
The fact that you tried to hide in a pile of mulch,
right?
I think that wins every time. Because it doesn't take a whole lot to go to a different hotel and think you can get away with it. But to try to hide in a pile of mulch.
Right, right.
That's a step above and beyond. You know what I'm saying?
So you're going to take the Boyette story.
I'm taking Boyette. Mulch
taking
wins.
Taking that over Matty P?
Mulch wins. Now, you know, the Matty P story is great because your credential was in the window.
Crazy, right?
Yes. The whole story's
crazy.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, hold on. John, you were a bartender in the John Boyette story, is that right?
Yeah, I was the bartender that day.
Yeah, what'd he do? He got in a fight with somebody about something, right?
He got in a fight with a cab driver after the fact, but during it, he was stealing chicken tenders from people's bathrooms.
Now, it's funny, but it's also sad, because he was just there by himself, right? He was just getting loaded and hammered on his own, right?
Pretty much, yeah. He even mentioned to me that if his dad knew where he was, he would be in a lot of trouble with his dad.
Yeah. It's kind of a sad story. You know, another interesting part of that training camp with Boyette is one of my favorite stories is Boyette was starting a lot of fights.
Yeah.
And the N-word was being dropped left and right. In fact, I heard Boyette use the N-word, which is crazy,
right.
Chad,
mm-hmm.
On the field. Didn't think that was really allowed, but, you know. Right. And so I asked John Fox one time about Boyette. And he goes, oh, you know what's funny? I never knew what his first name was, because all I ever hear about him is F-word Boyette. Like, nobody would use his first. Everybody would, anytime anybody referred to him, it was like F-word Boyette, which was kind of a compliment, to be right. quite honest with you, that you were one of these type of guys. And he played at Oregon and played in the NFL. He was a legit player.
Right.
And he was just always one of those guys who was stirring things up. But it's obvious he had some demons as well. I did not know he was stealing chicken tenders off people's plates at that restaurant.
Yeah, the funniest part about it is that he had his own basket and completely forgot about it and was stealing from other people when he had a full basket to himself.
Do you know how the cops found him in the wood chips?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we heard all about that after the fact. What we were told was that he got into an altercation. The cops actually let him out of the building and were nice enough to let him get into a cab and go. And apparently they got to right around the Shane Company, and he started swearing at the cab driver and tried to throw. He got out of the car and threw a shovel at the cab driver, and that's when he called the cops and then decided to bury himself in mulch because he's like a ground creature, I guess, or something.
All right. Thank you, John. It's classic, yeah. Right?
Thanks, John. Thanks, John.
It's classic.
Oh, man. Bury yourself in mulch.
Training camp 2018.
Oh,
bury yourself in mulch right here on The Drive. All right, coming up, The Drive Reloaded. Who are you working with back there, Kyle? I can't even quite see who's... It's not Dylan. Who is... Oh!
It's Stephen Priest from...
What's Stoke up, Wednesday. Homeboy? I didn't even... Hey, man, you're a man after my own heart. You're not the tallest dude, and thanks for helping out. Appreciate it. I'm just saying thank you. I could barely... We have the strangest setup here, because I can't see people in the other room. Look at that, Chad. If I just look at it, I can only see your hat.
Yep.
I can see Kyle Barry, though, very clearly. Kyle's working on his, 30th 18-hour day in a row. He's exhausted. He's put on 3 ounces, so he's, you can say it's, you're in the home stretch, Kyle. Can you feel it? Although you probably have a 19-hour day tomorrow. Hey, Kyle, put your mic on for a second.
On.
Do you work at Coors Field changing billboards?
Yeah, you saw me.
No, but big set. I did not even know you did this.
Yeah.
Tell everybody what your job is at Coors Field.
The company name is Dorna Van Wagner, and it's the signs behind home plate that say Wells Fargo or Sports Authority, and you hook it all up before the game. I run down the baseline and plug in the batteries, and then run up the press box, and I sit behind Reed Saunders, the Rockies PA announcer, and I hit spacebar and just rotate the sign.
Nice. They pay you for this?
How amazing of a job is that?
Yeah, it's my best paying job that I have.
So what time do you have to get to the game to do that?
I get there about an hour before, just because traffic can be crazy.
Sure.
Nolan bobblehead night the other day was
it is it
insane.
Is a mess. So even though you have really nothing to do, it's better that you just get there, because being late, if you did it any different way, you might be late.
Yeah.
I've
been trying to try all the food at Coors. I'm not like big sexy or anything.
So how often? So you just hit a button and the signs change?
Yeah.
So how often do you have to do that?
Every half inning.
Every half inning. Okay. So you have to hit a button every half inning.
Yeah.
Do you have a rundown of what signs should be showing, something like that?
Stopwatch to calculate how much time each sign has shown on AT&T Sportsnet.
No kidding. So you're watching the TV broadcast and you're hitting a stop. Oh, well, that would grind me out.
Oh, well.
mean, it's not hard, but you got to pay attention, right?
Yeah.
So you file a little report after the game.
Yep.
So you keep a tab throughout the course of the game, and the final inning, you're just adding up one more number, and that's your report, and that's that.
Yep. That's why I got so hurt when you asked me if I've ever watched a game of baseball before.
Which makes sense now.
Have I?
Why'd you insult the man like that?
That's such a great story. That's awesome, dude. Good for you. How long have you been doing that for?
This is my third year.
What do you get paid for that? Just out of curiosity.
$150 a game.
Strong.
Not bad. You get there an hour early, so it's about, you know, $40 an hour, something like that, ish. Right?
I want to work for the Rockies themselves.
Right, right, right. So you work.
I have to give half of it back during taxes.
Right.
Because I don't work for the Rockies.
Sure. We all have to pay taxes. That's a quirky job, dude.
Yeah.
I got to admit, that's an awesome job. Talk about being on the periphery of sports. That is the periphery of periphery. So you're at every Rockies game.
Yeah, every home game.
Every home game.
So you're going to go to the gig.
Yeah, how'd you get it?
Through a friend of a friend that I went to North Glen with. Shout out Norse.
There you go.
I like working here, too. Armin's getting a little sick of my moodiness.
Okay. We didn't really need that much detail. Thank you, Kyle. You've done great. Steve. Everybody's good. Everything is awesome. Couple weeks away from training camp. Regaling people with, what's the story? I mean, we got a little something. This was the Manuel Sanders stuff, though. You know, that was last year, to be fair. It's not like that just happened.
It's still funny, though.
Yeah.
I play for the Broncos.
In case you didn't know.
I play for the Broncos. You know, we have another great t-shirt giveaway coming up. Last year, the turnout was just absurd. And we have free, unlimited edition shirts. I know what they are. We're not quite announcing it. I guess Stink and Mike will announce it Monday morning. But you're going to love this. You're going to love it, love it, love it. So make sure you're listening at 7:45 on Monday to the morning show for pickup details. Really, really cool stuff.
Chub, chub, chub.
Rockies getting going with Arizona tonight. I'm looking forward to that.
Charlie Blackman's had a lot of success against the pitcher tonight, Ray.
Robbie Ray.
Yes.
Not many dudes can carry Robbie as a first name. It's like dudes that name is Jamie.
I think Charlie's like batting average is like .435.
Nice.
It's Ray. Robbie Ray.
Robbie. I'm playing against Robbie. You got to win. You got to beat the Diamondbacks. You know, these are important for sure. So it's fun to have the Rockies back. We had a nice little break, and now here we go. Let's hope something magical can happen, and Kyle can change signs during the playoffs.
Because he gets paid more money then.
I would hope so.
Go, Kyle.
At first, it sounded like a really easy job. I just got to switch. I got to hit a button. Like between every half inning, but now I gotta like watch the monitor and I gotta hit the stopwatch.
Gotta time it up.
Oh my lord. Yikes. I mean, that's actually work. I mean, it's not hard work, but you know,
it's work.
Kyle is a hard worker. Kyle Berry, I gotta give you some props, man, because I know you do this show, I know you do another show in the morning, you work the Rockies at night. Seriously, dude, hats off.
Are you after something here, D?
No, I'm just giving you props, man. I'm giving you props. I mean, you have days with Rockies home games where you potentially would work. Golly, man. I mean,
late.
Like 16 hours, maybe something like that. I mean, like 5 a.m. to midnight.
I'm impressed.
I mean, Kyle Berry literally will have 17-hour workdays.
I'm impressed.
That is insane, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Good for you, pal. Chad, I get exhausted after about 2 hours and 15 minutes. I think I just, you know, fall apart after that.
Well, I'm exhausted with you for 2 hours.
No, I don't blame you. That's why we do the Drive Reloaded and we fool everybody. Somebody said that to me the other day. Man, you work 6 hours a day, don't you? And I go, that's right. That's what we do. 6 hours a day.
You got anything planned for the weekend?
No. And then starting next weekend, it gets bananas, like, for the rest of the year. Next weekend is kind of crazy, and then we get training camp. We're right there.
It's coming.
Here we are, man.
It's coming.
Next weekend. Are you ready for it? We are here at The Fan. Keep listening. The Drive Reloaded is up next. Have a great weekend.